Hello, Tallahassee. Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. It is truly a pleasure to be here in the studio once again, just to share with my listening audience. My guest today in the studio is my legal expert, Mr. Stephen Knight of the Knight Law Firm. And today we're going to be talking about some major changes in the area of family law. But like always, here on What Matters Most to You, Father, my Lord, my God, Holy Spirit, I come to thee right now just to say hallelujah, just to give you praise right now. Lord, I praise you for all that you've done, all the things that you're going to do and that you continue to do. And Lord, I just thank you for showing yourself faithful. And now, God, just continue to be with your church, to be with your people, that we can still be a light in this world to draw others unto Christ. Lord, increase our faith. I know sometimes that means that we have to go through some things, but you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are the faithful God. Lord, just increase our faith. Increase our knowledge of you that we can walk more closely with you. And now, Lord, as we talk about family law today, open up the hearts and minds of my listening audience that they can understand what is being taught today. And Lord, I ask that you look upon my friend, my guest today, Stephen Knight. Lord, I ask right now that you bless his practice tremendously because he has truly been a blessing to me, not only to me, but to True Holiness Church of God in Christ. I ask you now to bless his business beyond measure that he will know that was you that did it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. By now, everyone should recognize my guest today, my law expert, Stephen Knight. Welcome to What Matters Most to You.
Good afternoon, Vince.
Oh, it is great. You know, if you don't know, he's been in Tallahassee, representing Tallahassee and Florida for over 18 years, specializing in personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. Information about him can be found at www.thenightlawfirm.net, and you can give him a call at 850-513-3151. With that being said, what's family law in general?
In general, most people, family law is primarily a divorce, which you call dissolution of marriage.
Oh, you start that with the first one.
that's the key. And your child support, child custody. There's some other issues that come along, but those are the three major areas that entail family law.
Oh, wow. That's deep. People still getting divorced today?
Unfortunately, the divorce rate is almost close to 50%.
Still?
Still. Still. There was a time you slowed down when the economy slowed down. It was, you know, that old saying, it's cheaper to keep her. but, you know, and we had families actually still divorcing but living in the same house for a time because it was...
Hold on. Explain. Divorcing but still living in the same...
When the economy, especially the time when the economy sank in around, you know, 2008, when we had the recession, it was harder. Most people that separate, they can buy a new house or sell their house and split it up. But in that market, it was very difficult to sell houses. It was a buyer's market at the time. So many of the couples, for economic reasons, went through the divorce, but for economic reasons, stayed in their household.
They should have
just
stayed married.
Well, you know, sometimes that's the easiest thing to say. Sometimes it's obviously not the best, you know, the first decision people make. And that's what I advise. Every client that comes into my office, I say, well, first, you know, are you sure this is not an impulse decision? You know, like you had a little fight last night or whatever. And then I see, have you sought counseling? Even if it's not an impulse, have you sought counseling to rectify this situation? Because as much as I love business, I'd rather see the preservation of the marriage first.
So what changes have taken place lately? You know, I listen to talk radio and news throughout the day. I know there was something being thrown around in the legislature about ending this permanent alimony or child support. How did that fare? And talk to us about some other changes.
Well, the changes are not official yet, but there has been a rising movement towards that. So the legislature, there's a bill that has passed the House and the Senate and is currently in front of the governor right now for him to sign. He's got until April 19th to sign the bill. So it's not officially law, but it does look like a good measure that he will sign the bill. So
but if he doesn't sign it, it will still pass, right?
It will pass. So two things. If he doesn't sign it, it passes. It immediately passes. Or even if he signs, obviously, if he signs into the law, it becomes official. Some governors, as a default, they don't sign it to act like they're, you know, they're not for it 100% or not against it. You don't know their position. So he might, that's what they're thinking he might do because, you know, he hasn't really said anyway if he's definitely going to do it or not. But it becomes law automatically, or he can veto it.
Right. But if he doesn't veto it and it becomes law, what exactly is entailed in that new legislation?
So as of this moment, and there's, you know, there's so much involved in family law, a lot of gray areas. The major crux that started this ground movement was alimony. So what's changing now is under the present law, was about my change, under present law, there's something called permanent alimony. In other words, if a couple is married for a long time, the party, there's some women who have quit their jobs, or nowadays men, but if one party has sacrificed a lot for the marriage, but it's not an income earner, that person can get what we call permanent alimony. That means alimony until their death, basically. So it could be another 20 years of alimony.
Even if they were to get remarried?
Even though alimony always stops.
Alimony.
Yes, and many people don't get remarried for that very reason. They live with the same person. So a lot of people were, and that was, you know, it started in the days when obviously it was very hard to for women, especially for women, to find a second career or start a job again. There's a recognition now, especially that a lot of marriages are ending earlier than before. But usually permanent alimony, you'd have to have at least almost a 20-year marriage plus for that. But what they're saying is women now are entering the workforce more. They have more opportunities to enter the workforce, to gain income even after a few years. So the new bill that's in front of the governor at this time is stating that there will be no such thing as permanent alimony, that the judges now have to do a calculation. Now, those calculations are going to be based on your income and the length of marriage. There was no law stating about the length of marriage exactly before, but most courts did not enforce alimony period until actually about 8 to 10 year period. Most of them were leaning to 10 years, then you get as far as even thinking about permanent alimony or substantial alimony.
When you say 10, so that means the length of the marriage?
The length of the marriage was 10 years plus.
Okay.
So if you had a 2-year marriage, there was no alimony almost, basically. No more 3-year alimony. Under this law, we don't know how it's going to play it out, but it looks like there'll be, so obviously a 2-year marriage, sometimes the alimony would be so nominal that depending on the incomes of the individuals, that it would make sense, you know, to enforce it. But under this law now, if a 5-year marriage, 7-year marriage, you do a calculation based on the length of the marriage, the incomes of the party, and then alimony. But at some point, it would end.
So it would end. Wow.
Yes.
So how is that going over in the minds of people who does that affect people who are already?
No.
It's not retroactive.
That's another thing, too. We have to look at the bill thoroughly and see. If it is, to my knowledge, it's not retroactive. It's set already because it was set under those parameters. I'm sure some people are going to try to, you know, to petition to make it, you know, kind of quasi-retroactive. So we're going to see, and the same thing with many legislations. You really don't know how it plays out until it's, you know, 3-4 years from now when it's tried to be enforced by the courts. But the major reason, like I said, for it was there was a call because, you know, some people were unjustly enriched, you know, if they were in a marriage, but they had the ability. Some of them chose not to work.
Because they were receiving enough money.
Exactly.
Not to
have to work again, you know. So they thought that was an unfair position for one person to pay alimony for the rest of the other person's life, you know. So
And who benefited? Was it mostly women, or did some men benefit from that?
Some men, but obviously, it wasn't, I would say at least 95% of alimony is right. I'm trying to think of a case where I have a male client that has gotten alimony. I mean, it's probably only 5% of the time.
How is that decided? Mm-hmm. You know, who gets alimony?
It's decided by the incomes. That's the key. So, first of all, alimony is to put the person back into the position similar to what they were during the marriage. So if, and a reason why, and there was a very good reason, especially, you know, women primarily were the caregivers. And, you know, they didn't want to make sure the woman, some women actually stopped their careers when they got married. There were some successful women who said, okay, I stopped my career to raise the children, keep the family intact, you know, everything going. And they wanted to put a value on that, you know, because it's not deriving an income. So if they get married and they get, now they, if they're 40, 50 years old, it's harder to enter the workforce. Some of them have no skills because there's some of them married 16, 17 years old. I mean, 19, 20 years old, you know, basically just reaching adulthood and never had any training. So that's a huge disadvantage. Many of them also help their spouse's career, especially the men, you know, go through school, whatever it is. You know, to better themselves. So the courts were ensuring that, and a lot of that time also, on top of that, you know, the women were taking care of the children after the marriage, after the dissolution of the marriage. So they wanted to make sure that that person had enough income to sustain themselves because they had not gotten that income during the marriage, you know, per se. So it was to ensure that they could, that, and also to, you know, this child support, but they wanted to make sure that it was equal.
So you would have alimony plus child support?
Yes, you can have alimony plus child support. But the child support, the alimony is diminished by the child support. Each of them work off each other. So you could have both, but it's not like you're going to get a huge amount of alimony and then a huge amount of...
So they balance out.
Well, child support is what's calculated first.
Okay.
You know, and then alimony after that. So because the children were, you know, the main factor in the court's minds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, well, and there's another component of this, which is equally as important and major. And again, it arose from the fact that there was an inequality in what we now it's called parenting time. The common phrase for it was custody. Now, there was always a presumption and a bias that the mother was the better parent to spend the most time and raise the children. And, you know, there was a time when that was right because the mother spent most of the time. The mother maybe stayed at home, mom knew everything about the child, raising the child. But especially now when we have most of the households have two working parents, both parents are working, and fathers are more in tune to their children. You know, in the old days, you know, fathers were a little more withdrawn and you know, less actively involved. So along with this legislation is also one saying that there is now going to be, the legislation is asking to have a presumption that a 50-50 time sharing is in the best interest of the child.
50-50. Wow. You're listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, Vincent T. Edwards, and my guest today is Stephen Knight of the Knight Law Firm, and we're talking about changes in family law. So 50-50 custody, you know, it sounds good, you know, for the parents, but what effect does that have on the children?
Well, that was the main thing. Before that, there was a presumption against it because they figured the children going back and forth, it would, you know, not knowing, you know, if they, which was their main residence, things like that. But there's been a, you know, studies have been done since then that it's, and this again only works if the parents are close together, you know, basically living near the same school zone in the same city. Outside of that, there would be no presumption. But it's been proven that children need just as much time with each parent and to be actively involved in the children's lives. And it is to their benefit to have both of them. So, a 50-50 arrangement that does not, you know, cause the child to travel too much, you know, more than before is still, and that's the movement, is still in the presumptive benefit of the child.
So, basically, if they were to live in Tallahassee area, mm-hmm. They could just go 1 week here, 1 week there, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there. So it's the time is split.
Yes.
50-50.
On a rotating basis.
On a rotating basis.
And a major thing, though, comes with this is it also affects child support. Because obviously child support was based upon how much, what we call overnight time that the children had. So we're 50-50. Not saying it would eliminate child support.
But it would greatly reduce it.
In some places, in some situations, it would eliminate it. But it would greatly reduce it in most of the situations. There was a backlash again. You know, there was some uproar against that because they're saying that some people are fighting for 50-50 just to reduce the child support. And there's some men. And the judges can deviate from it. Again, it's just a presumption, but if a party argues that, you know, this is one parent was never involved in the child's life, and then suddenly they want to become more involved just to diminish child support, or if a child support action was started and suddenly that parent now files for custody, you know, then there is that issue. And similarly with the alimony, the judge can deviate from the guidelines that are going to be set up, the calculations, but they have to show, now they have to have a written reason why they deviated from the calculations.
So it's still at the judge's discretion if he has sufficient grounds and can justify it.
That's the main thing. He's got to justify it. He can't just, you know, have a ruling without justification.
So based on these new changes, in your opinion, do you see the divorce rate going down at all? Because of these changes, it's like, well, like if I leave, I may not get as much money as I thought, and I might as well stay here.
And that's very possible. But I will tell you, in general, most of my clients that come to me, by the time they reach that stage, you're like, some of it is just peace of mind, you know. And there are situations where people, they love each other, but it just cannot cohabitate, and you know, not good together. You know, again, if they go through the right counseling and doing it for the right reasons. Unfortunately, divorce will always be around. Once you have, you know, two individuals, it'll always be around. My hope is, of course, it lessens it. The custody, though, probably will increase some litigation because now parents that don't have 50-50 will be the one who has the less parenting time can now petition the court and say, listen, the laws have changed.
Oh, so that one's almost like retroactive.
Well, it's not retroactive. No, but you have to say what it is now. That okay. You live close enough, you know, so it's not what it was before. But now you live close enough. The children need your time more to help with sport, whatever, school and things like that. So you're not arguing what it was before, but you're arguing this now that under this new presumption. And again, it might be viewed as kind of semi-retroactive. But I think it opens that prospect. And there are a lot of fathers I know who want to become more involved, particularly in the children's life. Because I would say, again, at least 80% of majority of parenting time is awarded to the mother. And fathers have fought that for years.
Why?
Again, I mean, it's just traditional. The mothers are seen as more nurturing in the situation, especially when this, you know, obviously earlier times, the mother was with the children all the time, was in the house, was a homemaker, you know, was helping them with the homework, doing all these things. So it was almost a penalty for the father to be out there working and, you know, obviously being less active in their lives. So there was an argument that the mother is in a better position to raise a child. Many children didn't know many fathers didn't know the child's teacher's name, hadn't helped them with the homework, all these different things. And I think now, especially with technology and other things, it's the role is changing for the fathers. Fathers are stepping up more. They have to. You know, now we have dual-income families where both parents are working. So the father's spending, and many other fathers are spending more time with personal situation than the mother. Actually, the mother is more professional. She's maybe working, you know, at a higher level, 80 hours a week, and the father is, you know, spending more time with the child.
Oh.
So that's, you know, that's really what it was from. But since times have changed, it's necessitated a change in that presumption that the mother was a better parent.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
With regard to statistics, mm-hmm. Do you know the rate or the number of people who divorce and then remarry?
That's interesting. No, I don't know that offhand, and that might be another topic to discuss. But I have clients who have done that. I have clients who have done the divorce, and then, you know, they remarried a year. I would say most of the remarriages I know of are basically within a year or two when they realize, you know, they realize that they really maybe made a wrong decision, or they really want to work it out, or it's in the best interest of both of them to be together.
And what about just getting married again and going back down to, like, so they got divorced, but then they married someone else in that second marriage. And then sometimes I know people, third time, what are the percentages of the second and third marriage actually working?
You know, that's interesting, and I would have to research that. That obviously, it seems to diminish each time for whatever reason. Even though you think you know the third time should be a charm, or the second time, but then actually, I think probably more than likely the second one, for what I know, usually lasts longer than the second. But ironically, to me, the third one, there's a pattern. The third ones I know usually end rather quickly.
Rather quick.
And again, people have that issue that in this country, it seems easier to get a divorce. And therefore, anything comes up, you know, people feel that they can get out of the marriage a lot quicker just by going to a courthouse and saying, you know, I need a divorce. And Florida is a no-fault state. So you don't even have to state any reason for a divorce. You just say what we call irreconcilable differences. And that's it.
So how does that affect assets and debts here in Florida?
Well, again, there's still a presumption that once you're married, any assets or debts is distributed 50% assets both ways once you're married.
Also, okay, I want to throw this out there because I want to make sure I understand this. So if two people are married.
Yes.
And the husband or the wife,
yes,
without the other party knowing, going out and get a new car, and the car is only in their name, or they get a credit card and it's only in their name, you're saying the other party is still liable for that?
Well, yes. If they bought the car outright, it's still an asset. That would be. But if they're liable, yes. Unless you're proving, like I have cases where people have rang up gambling debts, or just some of them forged names to put both people on it, or and if it can be viewed within the course of a normal marital activity, yes. But if it's excessive, and the other party didn't know about it, that is an argument that can be made in court that it's not to be the liability of the other party.
So if it's not excessive and they went out and did it, and
it's still yes, it's
still, so it's 50-50. The
it's still 50-50 under Florida law.
What about
the presumption? Again, you can put in facts to.
But what about debts that were incurred
it's
before?
Not. Anything that only applies to anything incurred during the marriage. So if you bought a house now or in contemplation of marriage, because I have many cases where somebody bought a house, they were living together, they bought a house and got married a year later, you know, or even if they weren't living together, but they. One party bought a house and saying, hey, you know, you can move in while we're engaged. You move in when we get married. That is still can be considered marital asset or liability.
So if you own your own house and then you get married and they move into your house, that's a joint asset.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. If you own it, it depends on the circumstance. Oh. So if you owned your own house and then met somebody, you know, and then got married, it's definitely not a marital asset. Okay. However, if you refinance that house during the duration of the marriage, then it can become a marital asset because now you've assumed a new debt encumbered with the house during the marriage. So there's a lot of things involved. And that's why, you know, I get clients who try to do these things, and after the fact, they go to court by themselves, unfortunately. And, you know, it's not as... They think it's simple, and they're issues, and they come back afterwards and things try to straighten it up, which makes it a lot harder.
So that's why they need to call you, huh?
Well, that's why they do need the assistance of an attorney, and that's what I do specialize in.
And he specializes in personal injury, criminal defense, and what we're talking about today, family law. He is truly an expert in that. And you can call him at 850-513-3151, 850-513-3151, or visit him on the internet at www.thenight, that's K-N-I-G-H-T, law firm. That's www.thenightlawfirm.net. Anything else on the horizon with regard to family law?
There's nothing else. That's pretty major. That's been on the horizon for many years. It was a major issue, and I think that's what family law is kind of concentrated on. I will say there is one other major issue, really, when you think about it. Obviously, now it's a same-sex marriage.
Right.
So with all the rice and everything else that comes involved with that.
So that'll be next on on the horizon. So what's the deadline for this legislation?
19th. The governor has to sign it by the 19th. But like you said, if he doesn't sign it.
And that's of April?
April 19th, yes. April 19th. Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. That's right around the corner.
Yes.
Yes, because today would have been tax day, but due to some federal holiday or whatever. So the 18th Monday is tax day. So for my listening audience, please make sure you have your taxes or that extension filed by the 18th. Any last words today, Attorney Knight?
Well, I just want to say, again, I'm Stephen Knight from the Knight Law Firm, and we specialize in family law, criminal defense, and personal injury. And we pride ourselves in giving our clients the representation they need and the service they deserve.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I will say for full disclosure, he is good. He's great at what he does. He helped me several years ago with regard to a personal injury case. Well, our time is gone. Can't believe it. It goes by quick. That was a good subject. All right.
Well, I'm just glad that, you know, and talk about taxes, that, you know, if there's any issues as far as if they're considering dissolution of marriage, there's also tax implications. Or if they're in the middle of a divorce, there's also tax implications with that.
All right. So my listening audience, what I recommend, this is way above my pay grade, but that's why I have the specialist here. Give him a call if you have any questions regarding family law. Based on our conversation today, call him at 850-513-3151. Like always, it's truly been a pleasure being here in the studio. You've been listening to What Matters Most to You. I'm your host, the one and only Vincent T. Edwards, better known as Mr. Speaker. Please visit me on the internet at www.vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. Remember, in all you do, be magnificent. Until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.